Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast likes to live in the land of musicals. I am your host, John, and with me today is, well, you just heard him live with us. It's Mark Bonanni, everyone. Woo!
Hey, woo!
Thanks for having me back. Originally, I had this right after Across the Universe, and I was like, let's give people a little break. And we're here today to talk about the 1995 TV film version of Bye Bye Birdie. The screenplay, is it the screenplay? Hold on, let me just make sure I'm saying the right
thing. Yeah, the teleplay, is it? Is it teleplay when it's a movie, when it's a TV movie?
Well, I wasn't sure if it was the screen. No, he wrote the book, that's it. Because it was, because usually when they do these, you know, obviously they adapt it and somebody else writes it. But the book is written by Michael Stewart. Music by Charles Strauss, lyrics by Lee Adams. It's directed by Gene Sachs. And according to IMDb, rock and roll icon Conrad Birdie is about to go into the army and plans are being made to arrange his final going away concert. So, like, Bye Bye Birdie, right?
It's Bye Bye Birdie.
We've all seen it at some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
I believe I've only seen, like, a high school production of it. I don't think I've ever seen, like, a regional or the Broadway or anything like that. But I've seen, like, I've seen this movie before, and I've seen the other, the original one with Dick Van Dyke and Cheetah Rivera so many times.
Well, Cheetah wasn't in the movie, but yeah.
Oh, right, right. Who was
it's it? It's Janet Leigh.
Janet Leigh plays Ruth?
Yep.
I totally forgot.
Indeed, you do.
Sorry, I was also looking up the stage version because this is the first time we're covering this on the podcast, and Cheetah was Rosie, Rose, I should say, as it's credited on the Wikipedia page. But why did you want to talk about the 95 version?
The 95 one holds a special place in my heart because I've done Bye Bye Birdie twice. And so once
like you were in it?
I was in it twice. Once as Albert, once as Conrad. So I've sort of done the spectrum a little bit of the show. And this came out like right when I was in my, you know, I was doing the community theater and doing all that sort of stuff. So, you know, and it's so much more faithful to the stage version. Because Bye Bye Birdie, I didn't grow up in a musical theater family. And Bye Bye Birdie was one of those few musicals that like was a part of my early childhood life because my dad loved Anne Margaret.
Ah,
and rightfully so. Anne Margaret is super hot.
Yes, 100%. We've done Tommy twice on this podcast and my God.
And so when I remember seeing it for the first time and being so epically confused as to why, I was like, okay, he punched Conrad, like the show's over. What do you mean we've got a whole other act to do? I mean, I've baffled me as a kid. So this version is much more faithful. It contains one of my favorite actors. The casting for this is so good because it's like some really terrible casting and then some great casting and then like two examples of God tier casting.
Is one of the God tier Jason Alexander? I hope it is.
I have him in the really good because he's brilliant in it, but I don't think he's the only one I could see as playing, especially when you have Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, true, true, true. But I mean, for Jason Alexander, because at the time I had to like remember this. At the time, it was the peak of Seinfeld.
Yeah, he was hot.
And like, he's got the wig on in this. He is moving around, he's jumping on a fence, he's dancing, he's keeping up with everybody, and it looks effortless. And
I mean, like, he's a Tony Award winner, he's a Tony Award Broadway hoofer.
I think of Jason Alexander more as like a singer than a singer dancer.
He won his Tony for Jerome Robbins Broadway.
Well, that's on me.
He was in
Because
the original The Rink. It's not a politically correct term now, but he was a gypsy. I mean, he was a Broadway guy whose career was to be on Broadway, and Seinfeld sort of just took him in a whole different trajectory. But he was a Broadway baby.
part of me wants to go back and watch this season to see how much of it he's in.
Yeah,
Because this.
they filmed it in the summertime, you know.
Because, I
It was a
mean,
hiatus project, I'm sure.
probably. But, I forgot that, like, this is really Albert's story.
Yeah, I mean,
I
he
thought it
is.
was more Kim's story.
Well, that's because the original movie, because they had Anne
And
Margaret,
Margaret.
they forced the show to shift to be her story. That's why they wrote that opening number, which is not in the song "Bye Bye Birdie,"
Okay,
was not is not
good.
in the show.
Good, because I was just I was scouring the Wikipedia for the stage version as that was happening, and I was just like, is this not in the show? I feel like it should be. It is in the show, and it's not even like you know how like Grease added Hopelessly Devoted to You after the movie? They didn't do that. They were like, no, this is strictly the movie. We're not
Yeah.
adding it for any revivals or anything like that.
Did they not add it for the 09? There's only been one Broadway revival, and it was in 2009.
No.
They didn't add it in. Interesting.
No.
I would have
Unless
figured they would have.
it was part of the overture, because they just say, Overture, we love you, Conrad. And you never,
That's
I
that we
mean,
love you,
right,
Conrad.
but they
Oh,
could
yes, we do.
also,
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, they could have done a verse of Bye Bye, the
Yeah.
Bye Bye
I mean, it's
Birdie.
become so iconic now. I feel like you kind of have to.
You have to incorporate it somehow.
It's like, but do you do it the way this film does it and like puts it in the story? Because in the original film version, it was just in front of a blue screen and she just sings the song.
Right, as like the opening
This,
credits and
yeah,
everything, if I
this
remember right.
version, they sort of shoehorn it in as a number for
I
Ursula and the girls.
like it in this. I just wrote down fuck yeah harmonies in all caps. Because, like, you have it's five of the girls, Ursula, and four others who probably have names, but I don't know them. And the way that they are sing, like, it builds, and it starts with Ursula, then they add two more girls, and then they add the last two girls. And, like, those harmonies are so tight and everything that I was just like, oh, yes. What a great song that doesn't exist in the show.
But it doesn't. Well, there's several in that don't exist from this version that I think should be added in to the show permanently, I think.
What else, what other song?
So there's three other songs that are in this TV movie that are not in the stage version. There's A Giant Step
Yes.
that was added for the 1990 touring production with Tommy Toon,
Okay.
which we'll talk about because that directly leads into this in a way, into this movie.
Okay.
And then A Mother Doesn't Matter Anymore, May's one and only song, The Mother. That
Okay.
was cut from the original because Kay Medford, the original Mae Peterson, couldn't sing, so they cut her song. And they added it back in for Tyne Daly to sing.
Which for this. It is the only song that is recorded live because Tyne Daly could not, did not want to lip sync to a pre-recorded track.
According to
So.
her, I watched an interview with her. She said that she just didn't have the skills to lip sync good enough.
That's f and that's fine, knowing your limits. Like, I wish the guy that played Conrad also said the same thing, because One Last Kiss, not One Last Kiss, the other one, Sincere. Honestly, Sincere, it's just so over the top and
It's supposed to be.
right, but
The
like
entire town faints.
right, but when he recorded it, it doesn't sound as over the top as he's acting it. That's what I'm saying. Like,
True.
it's
Well, that's sort of, I think, a disconnect. I don't think that's his fault. I think it's a disconnect of the people in charge. You know, they probably recorded that before they had any kind of blocking for the.
let's blame Gene Sachs, the
Listen,
director.
he directed the movie version of MAME. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. So you teased us with your tier
Yeah.
Who were your god tier?
Tyne Daly as Mae Peterson to me is so perfect. I think her number is so great. The scene where she pops up out of the water, I mean, is just so absurdly wonderful.
I'm going to softly agree with you, but I do not like the character at all.
Good. I mean, you're not
And
supposed to.
I guess that's a credit to Tyne Daly, who mastered that mother's guilt and also the racism. And you're like,
Oh,
oh.
yeah. The racism is strong with this one. And this
Who.
was produced in the early 90s by the Hallmark Channel. So all that racism is still in there. They didn't
Oh.
take any of it out.
No. And they didn't sugarcoat it either. It is 100% like,
No, and I mean,
whoa.
they basically did the show as written. I mean, that's not totally true, but you know, for all intents and purposes, that's all in, it's all there. I mean, this was 1960, so yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other god tier is Mark Kudich as Conrad Birdie.
Interesting.
I adore Mark Kudich. He's one of my favorite performers of all time, and to me, there is no more perfect Conrad Birdie.
Besides Elvis. Oh,
Sure. Wouldn't that have been interesting to see him do a production of Bye Bye Birdie?
I was reading about like the history of this, and like originally it was there was so many iterations of it. It was originally called Let's Go Steady, which was supposed to be a happy teenage musical with a difference, but everyone hated that. And then they tried to do something that was similar to The Parent Trap, the Disney film, but they didn't do that. And then all of a sudden they read about Elvis getting drafted and having one last kiss with somebody on stage, and they're like, let's turn that into a musical. And they did.
It's a classic. I mean, it's one of the classics of the American theater. And to that point, I mean, you know, you talk about Hair being the first rock musical. In many ways, Bye Bye Birdie was the first. I think it was the first time an electric guitar was in the orchestra pit. I could be wrong about that. But it was
Oh.
certainly the first, I'd say, pop musical. I mean, kids,
Yeah.
teenagers who saw the show, I mean, there's a book by Frank Rich, the New York Times critic, who was hugely influential in the 80s. He talks about seeing it, and he calls it electric sex when the telephone hour happened, and it was like these kids undulating on the phone, which, like, teenagers, there was never a teenage-centered story. There was never a show that talked to teenagers in the now.
Right. And if there were teenagers in it, they were always just like secondary, tertiary
Yeah,
characters.
the punchlines of, you know, the counterculture. So this, it was really modern. It was sort of that perfect blend, because you get the real rock and the Elvis hips, but you also get, you know, kids, I don't know what's wrong with these kids, dude. I mean, so you get, it's such a great generational story.
Like, I agree with you. It does sound younger compared to other musicals from the 60s that I know of. I mean, obviously, I'm not as experienced as you are with musical theater history, but I think this was a show for kids that kids can be in. That I think that what I didn't read this, but I'm hoping this was a goal of theirs to be like, no, this is a show that kids can like see themselves and be like, yeah, we love Elvis, of course. We were
Yeah.
upset when he went to the war, and then he
Yeah,
made
no, it
a
was
string of shitty movies. Like,
Justice for Jailhouse Rock and Viva Las Vegas.
well,
Not Kissing Cousins, but
so you also brought up Telephone Hour, which, and I know it can be epic. I feel like in this one, it was so close.
I feel like a lot of the movie is just so, it's this weird, it feels
Yes.
sort of like a, it should have been live, but it's got this like low budget, but then it has these brilliant moments. It's a really weird animal, this film. It's it sort of lives in this nebulous, and there's a lot of like padding to fill out runtime, I feel like. Like it needed to be 3 hours with, I'm guessing, like 3 hours with commercials. So there's all these like padded bits of, it's like, what? Cut all of this. Cut.
Yeah, there's also a lot of like silent moments after songs, and you're like, go on.
Yeah. There's like this whole montage of like the kids dancing down the street and the parents marching towards them, and then the kids dancing down the street and the parents
Okay,
march.
so for when that happened, I let my mind really wander, and I was wondering if they were trying to like talk about the foreshadowing of later 60s with counterculture, because they were all grooving and stuff, and it felt like they were, as you said, like you brought it up, but it felt like they were the tribe in Hair, and the parents were like the older generation not understanding them. And I don't know. I think I just gave this movie way too much credit at that
I
moment.
think you gave it way too much credit. I think you've given it more thought than anyone involved in this version ever
Because
did.
I thought it was just hilarious to see them like, woo, we're grooving. We're doing Aaron Rankin choreography. Aaron Rankin choreography. Can we just for a second? Like,
I mean,
they got a legend for this.
she played Rose in the 1990s tour
Okay, so
with
this is a
Tommy
pin that you're
Tune
taking out right now.
and Mark Kudich as Conrad Birdie.
So why? I mean, I'm glad that they didn't cast her in the movie, because Spanish Rose and all the racism and everything. I mean, I guess they could have taken it all out.
I
That
mean,
because like they were even the original movie didn't have Spanish Rose in it.
that's true, but I don't think that was for political reasons. I think that was just because songs like that get cut from movie musicals.
Can we give it that much credit, though?
No.
Can we give an older movie a little bit of credit for
Mean,
being
she's still
like,
Spanish. They still darkened her skin for the film.
I know, yeah. Oh my God. So was it supposed to be that this was going to be that 1990 tour cast or something?
No, I think it just, I mean, 'cause that was 90 to 91 and toured the country. It never went to Broadway. Wasn't supposed to. I mean, they said up and down that it was not intended to go to Broadway, but come on.
That's them backpedaling, being like, we don't have the funds.
So, I mean, I think there was renewed interest in the show from the 90s. I'm sure some executive saw the tour, and but it wasn't supposed to be like, let's take this tour. But I think it borrowed a lot, because that was, except for the original production and the original film, the 90s tour was the only closest thing to a revival until, Roundabout screwed it up in the 2009 production.
I mean, there was an Encores in 2004, I'm seeing. There was a Kennedy Center production, and then it revived in 2009, as you said, with John Stamos and Gina Gershon.
The less about that production, the better.
I wish I saw that one. And I mean, you probably know about this, but you listener may not. And because I just found out about it, there was a sequel musical to this.
Oh, yes. Listeners, you can go to Broadway by Ghostlight on YouTube, and I have a whole breakdown of Bring Back Birdie, the sequel to Bye Bye Birdie.
Starring Donald O'Connor and Cheetah
And Cheetah
Rivera.
Rivera, yes, it is every bit as awful as you would imagine.
I mean, it says it closed after 31 previews and 4 performances, so at least they made it.
There's a cast recording. I have a whole breakdown on my channel of Bring
Oh
Back
my
Bird.
goodness. I wish I didn't just watch the movie and
It was my
realize
first
about that.
breakdown, I
So,
think. It's really gnarly. Like, if you can sit through it, good luck. But it was my first breakdown I ever did.
this version though, it stars Chyna Phillips as
As a
Kim.
29-year-old Kim,
Is it tw
she is
Sorry,
2 years
she's
younger than Mark Kudich was when he played Conrad.
See, the girl who plays Ursula looks like a teenager. I'm not sure how old she is because I'm not finding it anywhere online, but She at least looks like a teenager. She could be in her 20s as well. She could be 33 for all we know, like Stalker Channing. But China Phillips does not look like a teenager.
She looks every bit of 29.
And that's just, I think they tried so hard. But like once the hair is down and she's in pants, you're like, you are in your 20s, lady.
It's just that and Vanessa Williams. It's like Vanessa Williams has great moments, but she's just wrong for the, I mean, besides her not being of Latin descent.
Yes.
And
Spanish
it's
Rose.
like it's so easy to just cut all that. Like, is anyone gonna complain that all the racist Spanish jokes are cut from the show? I don't think so.
They could have kept it that the mother was just blind to her, because that's another joke that they have. Like, the mother is, May is racist and also blind to Rosie. And it's like, you can cut one and keep the other.
Right?
Like, where's that secretary of yours? She's standing right here. Like, that's
Can I
okay.
tell you how I forgot about the Gloria Res the Gloria Rasputin, Gloria,
Gloria
whatever her name
Rasputin,
is, the
yeah.
whole Gloria subplot. I had completely forgotten about that, which is all in the show. Which, by the way, spoiler alert, in Bring Back Birdie the sequel, we learn the secret, the twist, that Mae Peterson is herself Spanish.
Oh my God. There's a line that she has too in this where she's like, you're just like your father, you marry anybody. And
That's such a great line.
it's
That's
like,
such a great line.
so you're
You,
dissing
yeah.
yourself?
Yep. It's so good. She's so good. When she's hiding behind the tree and you just see her little furred elbow sticking out. It's so funny.
The fact that she wears the fur coat the whole time as well.
The whole, yep.
Every scene, whether you meet her at the first time you meet her, when she's in their nightgown, when she's coming out of the water.
Oh my God. Oh
God.
yeah, and she's like, call me Mrs. Peterson, and she faints into the water. It's A plus material.
Like, I do have to say, Vanessa Williams did her job.
The Shriners ballet is great.
Okay, we're here. What do they do at the Mystic Order of the East meetings?
It's supposed to be the Shriners, which are a real organization. So I wonder if they changed that. But yeah, I don't know why all these white men are at this.
At one side of a table where nobody's looking and they're looking straight out,
Ever thought about how they're on one side of a table? That is
oh,
really
I was
weird.
so obsessed with it, because I'm like, this is for us. This is for us, the audience. This is you guys being like, aren't we cool being a little theatrical with this? Yeah. And it's set up that way because then when she does the dance and she's, flipping and dancing on top of all these men, it makes sense why they're all on one side of the table just staring down the barrel of the camera, and it's a little off-putting.
It's so weird. This film, like we talked about, it at some point it just recreates the original film, which is also in many ways recreating the original Broadway production. Like How Lovely to Be a Woman is like shot for shot. The Shriners
Yes.
ballet is this, but Bye Bye Birdie just needs to be a live stage show. It just is one of those properties that just doesn't translate super well to film. It's realism, but there's just a touch of, I don't know, cartoonness,
Fantasy.
bigness, fantasy. And I think just in there in inherently in a live performance, there's this layer of lunacy that you're sitting in a room and watching these people pretend to be in a home and sing songs. I
Does
feel like you need that.
it needs the John M. Chu touch if it's going to be a movie?
You know? Get him to do the J Lo, although she's probably a little old now if she hasn't
She can
settled
play the
down with Albert.
mom.
That would be funny if they flipped it and Rose is white, but the mom wants him to marry a Spanish girl.
I would love that.
That would be fun.
And then she could sing a boy like that.
I think, and there's other little added things too. Like they added a verse, a reprise of What Did I Ever See in Him? They added a What Did I Ever See in
Yeah.
Her
And
reprise for Albert.
And that's not even on the Wikipedia page. I checked several times as well.
Oh, so that's not in the show. And I feel like it makes Albert more, a little more dislikable than he needs to be. He already does things that are dislikable. We don't need to dislike him more.
Right, like choosing his mother over his well, his girlfriend slash
Yeah.
coworker. Who it feels like in the when she comes up with the idea for one last kiss and everything, it feels like, at least for Vanessa Williams' reading of the character, it's like she's had this thought for a while and finally had the nerve to or got the courage to say it out loud. Because it doesn't feel, I feel like it's supposed to be like a improvised feeling of like, what if we he had a kiss. He gave a farewell
Right.
kiss. You know, it needed it.
The scenes are all like the there's some hysterically funny dialogue that is just sort of trampled over. There's just a misunderstanding of comedic timing. I feel like
Yeah.
if they played it as written, I think the director, whoever, might feel it's a little staged. And I feel like they keep trying to pull away from that when it needed to go, like,
It needed
I
to
don't know.
embrace
You know how,
it.
like, the producer's film, the movie of the musical, everyone complains that it just feels too stagey. It feels like almost like a pro shot. And I feel like you have to have that for this kind of thing.
I mean,
I don't know.
I do like the producer's movie, so
Yeah, people, yeah, they thought it just felt like they filmed the stage show.
well, I feel like there are some musicals, and you could probably back me up on this, where you have to be very performative. You have If you're going to do a film version of it, you have to make it grandiose and to the camera and everything.
Yeah.
You can't justify it by being like, it's realism or it's all in her mind.
Yeah. Bye Bye Birdie is bright colors and bubble gum and just splash. And this is it's very dull. It's very muted, this version. It has
Yeah.
moments where it pops off and it really succeeds, but not always.
There's also a moment. So put on a happy face. I had to read the actual context of this in the show version, because in this, it's insane, but it's the same. It's the same. They changed nothing. And it's kind of, though, it felt a little predatory to me that he's singing this to a teenage girl.
Well, and also, like at the end, and like all these people are clapping. Like, what are they thinking is happening in this situation? What do they think? Like, he's found his child bride. I mean, it is Sweet Apple, Ohio in the 1960s. I don't know.
No, that's New York, I thought. Because that's at the train station before
You're
they
right.
leave.
That is at the train station. It did. I was watching going, ew, that this is a little. The
Yeah.
only major difference is I feel like the show, it's like at night. And it's just this group of girls, like in this abandoned. They're not like even in the train platform. They're like outside, and like they're just dejected. And he like cheers them all up. There's no crowd. It's not in the daytime, and like they form a circle around them dancing. So it's like, so is this a diegetic song? They can all hear the music. Like either they hear the
And watch
music
the
out of
dancing and
nowhere.
everything.
It's weird.
That was one that, though, I was just like, okay, Jason Alexander, keep going, you know,
Oh yeah,
hoofing.
he's a perfect Albert.
Right. It's just that the concepts of some things make it go, oh, you're not that good of a person,
It's
Albert,
hokey. It's
not Jason
hokey pokey.
Alexander. Yeah. Like we just said, put on a happy face where he's singing to a teenage girl, and you're like,
I know.
it would make sense if it was to the group of them to be like, don't worry, he's coming back. Yeah, put on a happy
Yeah.
face.
I feel like it definitely, I mean, it is to a girl. There's the sad girl in the show, and that's, they do the put on a happy, but it's never, I feel like it's just the close-ups and seeing them together as opposed to seeing him, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, another. You watched Schmigadoon season two, right?
Yeah, once or twice.
When, because when there's that episode where they're in the jail and you see a birdie Conrad Birdie type character there, because they don't say his name for legal reasons, but he's got the gold suit on and everything. It made me wonder, though, like, how old is Conrad Birdie supposed to be? Because Kim is supposed to be 16, something like that.
He's arrested for statutory rape.
Yeah.
That's what he's arrested for.
Yeah, even though he did, well, with her, yes, but the kids all attacked him in his defense. But he did try to do stuff with Kim McAfee in the ice house.
But yeah, he did. Yeah, when she says jailbait, that's when he like sort of snaps out of his little
He's like,
conquest.
Oh shit, right, you are young.
Yep, he's like, oh yeah, that's right.
Which is kind of, I don't know if they meant it to make fun of or poke fun of what happened with Elvis and Priscilla, because she was very young when they first heard.
Well, I'm pretty sure all that's in the stage show, which would have been before any of that happened.
Or came to light, we should say. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know the timeline of Elvis's love life, but maybe, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, thanks.
Oh man, I'm glad we're on the same page with this one, because part of me was worried for A, if I'm watching the correct one, and B, I didn't want a repeat of Lil Abner at this point.
Oh, justice for Lil Abner.
I was like, I mean, this is fine. They do the job. Would you say this one is closer to the stage version than the original movie?
Oh, 100,000%.
Yeah.
100,000. It's completely more. It's just like the 1999 Annie, also by Charles Strauss, is a lot more faithful to the stage version than
the 82 one.
The crazy, batshit crazy 80s one where they're
the
up on
Burnett.
You know, when I worked the national tour of Annie, and Martin Charnin directed it, who wrote Annie, it was his idea. He wrote the lyrics. Anyway. You are not allowed to bring up the film version of Annie to him.
That makes sense.
It was banned. He was not a fan of any aspect of that movie.
Oh my. And see, much like this version, you know, it's not good, but like there's some performances that you're like, I have to give it to you.
There's some great. I love Giant Step. I love Jason Alexander. I think that that's another song that should be added to the show. I think he needs that moment. And when he leaps, I've even tweeted at Jason Alexander, who responded to me. I forget what he said, but I was like, when you jump from the ground up onto that, I mean, that's a huge jump. And if you watch it, he doesn't like get momentum. He just is flat and then just leaps like 5 feet in the air.
That like when there's that scene when he's walking around the town looking for Rosie towards the end of the movie, and he like effortlessly jumps up on a wooden fence, like holding with just his hands. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he's kind of a big guy. And I was like, that's impressive, because
yeah, he's stocky. That's what they always talk. That's how they always describe George Costanza on Seinfeld. He's stocky.
I always thought he was, I mean, I think it was because he was styled differently, and he like it was more 90s wear, so they wore a lot of like puffy things or bigger clothing.
Gore-Tex.
But at points of this movie, I was like, did they pad him on Seinfeld to make him bigger? Because
I think he leaned into that eventually. You know, his character was supposed to be, you know, they kept
slubby,
writing jokes
yeah.
for it. You know, he was a little bigger, so.
Right, but like when you see him in the tailored suits in this, you're like, oh, look at you. Look at you, good sir. You triple threat.
I wish, you know, it's interesting to think of what would have happened if he would have stayed on Broadway and continued. He would have been one of our big leading men, I hope. I got to see him in The Producers in L.A. He was the original Max Bialystock in L.A.
La-di-da.
With Martin Short.
How dare.
I wish you would come back to musicals.
I mean, nobody ever really leaves, you know.
He directs now. He directs a lot of things.
Yeah, let him have some fun. There was, what was the, What was the one that I wanted to add? Oh, on How Lovely to Be a Woman. Yes, you said that it is a shot-for-shot remake of the original movie, which was them remaking the stage version. But I think they were trying to say something with the outfit at the end, that she's singing about being a woman and wearing heels and dresses and everything, and she's putting on a jersey, pants, and a baseball cap. And I was like, what are you trying to say here?
I think you're giving these people so much credit that they don't deserve.
Well, because
that's what she does in the original too. She puts on boyish clothes. It's all just for the end. It's all just for the joke. Like me, I'm a girl like me, and she's dressed in boy clothes. It's literally just for the gag.
But it felt like they were being like, oh, we're being very intentional right now. Like they were. It felt like they were acting like they were smart.
You know, maybe in 1995, I don't think any sort of, I think it was still called cross-dressing back then. So I don't think it was, you know.
Yeah, it was.
Knew what they were doing.
Oh, so I had Hugo. Okay.
Aw. He's sort of a nothing burger in this.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he doesn't sing really in the show, right?
No, not really. He has a, you know, we hate you, Conrad. Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah, because the only reason why I say that is because in the 1990 tour, Steve Zahn played Hugo Peabody. And I was like, okay, I know you're kind of a singer. You were in That Thing You Do. But like,
he must have some little... I know he sings a little in the original film version, but that's because it was Bobby Rydell, I think that's his name, who was like a pop heartthrob of his own.
Yeah.
He sings, this is random, he recorded an album of just him singing all the songs from Bye Bye Birdie. So it's just the actor who played Hugo singing every song from Bye Bye Birdie.
Wow. And it's
random, but his version of Kids is so stupid and funny, but it's one of the biggest bops. I listen to it unironically all the time. Listen to Kids by Bobby Rydell. I promise.
So he made his own cover album of the music from,
yeah, just from all the, it's, yeah,
way to go, Bobby Rydell. But I
would, Rydell, I feel like that's the school from Greece.
No, it is the school from Greece as his last name. I'm looking right at it.
You're
right,
Bobby Rydell. I was like, maybe I must be crazy.
No, you are not crazy in this instance.
Good.
But I was wondering. So you're in a you're married, right?
I am married. Yes.
If your wife had the same opportunity as Kim does in this, is it cheating?
For a kiss? Well, if I'm married, if I've been married for, you know, 15 some years, I would be like, get famous, get that money,
get that publicity stunt,
I'll kiss Conrad, let's just do it. If it was like teenage me in high school, and like, well, I had jealousy issues in high school, so I'm not the best example, but yeah, no, I would not be okay with it. I would have punched Conrad Birdie too.
Because I was
so that I understand.
Because she does say things where she's like, it means nothing. And she tries to do that whole, like, I'm going to say his name and not react. And then she does react because she's a stupid teenage girl, allegedly. Mm-hmm.
She remembers those days fondly.
A decade ago. But, I mean, I was like, is it cheating? I mean, they have to just have the conversation of, like, it's for television.
Yeah, I feel like they do a much better job of that in the 63 film, the original film of, you know, look into my eyes. They have that whole, you know.
I reference that movie so many times and nobody knows what I'm talking about. And I'm like,
he was a fink.
I reference the speed that they basically create. They create speed in that movie.
Yeah, they sure do.
And I reference that
turtle
all the time and nobody knows what I'm talking about. And I'm like,
yeah. Can you imagine being like, okay, huge Broadway hit, Bye Bye Birdie. I've got this idea for a B plot. Like, what? They're gonna invent speed and give it to a turtle, then give it to a conductor, and they're gonna dance ballet really, really
Really
fast.
fast. Yes.
That's when I'm like, ah, yes. 60s
The
remakes
60s.
of musicals. They just
They're just silly. They're just silly.
silly, silly, silly.
And even the 90s remake, it's just silly.
It is just silly. That they're silly and there's absurd. There's a fine, fine line.
Especially in the Telephone Hour, there's a moment like everyone has their own solo line and they're all spread throughout town. And then at one point, all the girls are in one room. And you're like, how did this happen? Are
They
they
only have
still
a cast
talking
of
about
seven.
it?
Yeah.
Well,
There's also one
somehow.
point where some cast member said something. I was like, oh, this was filmed in Canada. And sure enough, it was filmed in Canada. Someone asked, about something. And I was like, what?
Well, somehow, though, like the New York set piece and the Sweet Apple, Ohio town, I think have different casts. Like
It's possible.
I was looking for those Conrad Birdie girls that were part of A Healthy Normal American Boy to be in Sweet Apple, and I don't think I saw any. So kudos on them
That's
for
good. That's
not
good.
repeating, even though like obviously if this was the stage version, it's the same.
Right, of course.
I personally like musical movies when they both are a movie and also are have a cast
Right.
where they're like, we have this cast, but also let's incorporate more because you have an ensemble, but like we want to show that there's more to this world than just these town folk.
Totally.
Is there anything else though you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
Let's see. I thought George Wendt,
Norm, yes.
he's a great casting. I feel like he wasn't so successful in it, but I almost didn't mind just because Harp was created by Paul Lynde. I mean, he's such an iconic person. So unless you're
Yes,
gonna
he
do
is.
that,
You're
you
right.
have to do something completely different. And I appreciate that he did his best version. Does
He
it stack
kind of
up against Paul Lynde? No, but
did like a weird alpha dad, not alpha male, alpha dad, because there he has a whole like monologue about what when Conrad moves in that I honestly did feel for him because I was like, oh yeah, who's going to pay the phone bill? Who's going to pay the phone bill?
Yeah,
And
I
like
enjoyed
that.
his performance.
And like that whole sequence before that, where they take his breakfast away so they can give it to Conrad, even though Conrad doesn't eat any of it. I was like, I kind of feel bad for the dad. And then all of a sudden he hears he's going to be on television and everything changes.
Ed Sullivan. Yeah. They performed
Which.
that number. The original cast performed that number on the Ed Sullivan Show, and it's pretty fun to watch.
Oh.
So if you ever want to Google Paul Lynde on the Ed Sullivan Show, I don't know if it's available, but cultural moment.
Hopefully somebody put it up on YouTube.
Hopefully.
But like also during One Last Kiss, I was just like, what is Harry doing?
That
Like,
whole sequence and the dressing up in different colonial like costumes, and
it's so manic.
he tries to get in on the bit. I was laughing pretty hard watching it, rewatching it again. That made me laugh.
But I was just like, what are you doing? Like, what?
He's just like, I got it.
I got this. I'm gonna be in charge. It's fine. It's fine.
And he like tries to high five Conrad. Oh, kills me. Oh, and the gold suit. I'm obsessed with the gold suit. I almost bought the gold suit from Mark Kudich, but I couldn't get an offer that was not insulting to him. So
Because
he
he's the
still
one
owns
who,
he owns that gold suit.
because that gold suit was a pretty good one.
It's great.
I liked that it had the epaulets, and it was like a weird cross between a motorcycle jacket and a military uniform. Yeah, I hated his other shirt though, the gold shirt in Honest
With
and
the
Sincere.
big puffy sleeves.
Yeah, I hated that shirt. I
Was so Dick Gaultier, the original on Broadway, Conrad Bernie. It's very that period, yeah.
I mean, I understand because it is period and everything. It's just, I was like, not for Conrad. We don't give him all the fabric on his arms.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Like,
I don't want to be a pirate.
We're not doing, you know, a period piece at this moment. He's supposed to be sexy.
I am the very model of a modern major general.
Not yet. He has to do this first and then go off to war.
That's, yep.
All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. What do you want to start with?
Let's do flats first.
Great. You want to go first?
I'm going to flat China Phillips being so old. I feel like she was fine, and like 10 years prior would have been a perfect Kim McAfee.
She has a great voice, I will say.
Yeah.
I liked her voice. But yeah, I feel like even 5 years prior to this, like maybe if she was part of the tour, like that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I don't know, was she such a draw? Oh, Wilson Phillips.
She was in That's Wilson why. Phillips, yeah. What was their song? What was their popular song? I was meant to look it up. Pop music and me don't, I don't know much.
Are they Hold On? They're Hold On, I believe. Someday somebody's gonna knocking at a ding about till then, baby. Yeah, it's Wilson Phillips. Hold On.
Aha. So that, yeah, a little flat for me. If they're not going to cast a Spanish woman, at least don't do the Spanish jokes. I would flat all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's touch and go even with the culturally appropriate Rosie, but no.
No. At least, you know, when Chita Rivera did it on Broadway, it wasn't like, it was somewhat appropriate. It wasn't like when, oh, was she tupped him in the movie version of, no, she that wasn't
no,
her.
No.
But like when they did that, it was like, whoa,
yeah.
You're way off.
Oopsie. What else is flat in this? The colors of the whole film are flat. It's just a flat feeling film.
Yeah, like you can tell that this is a TV movie. That they had access to a backlot or a town in Canada.
Yeah. It just should have been more, they should have leaned into the cartoonishness of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you, but I just wrote down I flatted the racism with an exclamation mark after that. I also flatted the awkward ending of Put On Your Happy Face. Because
they just linger.
I'm not sure. No, it wouldn't be like that's where a commercial break is. But yeah, they just lingered for a beat too long. And I was just like.
Right. You're almost expecting like a voiceover, like coming up on the, you know, on tonight's presentation.
I also flatted Mae Peterson. She was too much.
Yeah.
Like,
she gets a redemption in the original film.
And this one, they just kick her, put her on a train and. That's it. We say goodbye.
Yeah, you think
to
her. She's gone, and then she comes back again and tries to be terrible to Rosie, and then she tries again and then lays down on the tracks.
Plus, like they're trying to be funny with her, and towards the end, especially when both Albert and Conrad are staring at her and being like, "Well, the train's coming. The sky is very blue today." You know, like they were very nonchalant about it, and you're like. What?
I love it. I love when she walks in and you know, Conrad's all dressed up and she says, "Hello, Rose, you've never looked better." And it's Conrad. That made me laugh.
I also flatted Conrad's gold shirt and honestly sincere, like it was that bad. I also flatted A Mother Doesn't Matter Anymore because of everything associated with May. And gotcha. I'm not
you
sure
just,
how I'm supposed
like
to feel.
Character.
I'm not sure how I'm supposed to feel during that song. Like, am I supposed to feel sorry for her, even though we just watched 2 hours of her being nothing but a racist, hateful woman.
You're supposed to just revel in an old diva laying on the thickest guilt trip you've ever experienced.
I do have to say that Tyne Daly did a, again, she did a fantastic job. And that's it for my flats. Let's go into
I'm
sharps.
Gonna flat What Did I Ever See in Her, the reprise that I gave Albert.
Oh yeah.
We didn't talk about, I guess I can sharp it. Never mind. I'll sharp it when we get there.
Well, we're there. So sharp.
Something we didn't talk about that I thought Jason Alexander just nails is the song Talk to Me. Talk to me, baby, yeah. Won't you talk to me? And, you know, when he hits those high notes at the end, it's just beautiful.
I mean, credit where credit's due, the harmonies in this movie are pretty tight. Although, in Talk to Me, it's like, okay, so you had these horny, pervy bar patrons, and now they're on his side?
Right? Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're married. Okay. I also noticed that no one in the, they call it the Mystic Order of the East. What did you call it?
The Shriners.
The Shriners. Nobody there had a wedding band, had a wedding ring on. So part of me was like, what is with their reaction? I mean, I understand that it's a little predatory, like a woman hitting on a man.
Yeah, is it supposed to be like a celibacy thing and they all like break under the pressure?
Or are they gay?
I mean, you know.
Yeah, is it a gay orgy? Welcome back to the pod.
Woo!
What do you have any other sharps?
I am going to sharp A Mother Doesn't Matter Anymore. Because I love that song. And I'm going to sharp Giant Step, the other song they threw in for this movie. I'm going to sharp Mark Kudich. And he spells his name correctly with a C.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he
does. Oh, sorry, sorry. I thought you meant his last name. Sorry.
Oh, no. The Mark. The Mark important part.
Yes, of course. It's yeah. Because the other one is like a mark, you know, like a point or something.
Yeah, that's not a name.
Rude.
What else do I? Well, I guess that's, I've sharped a lot.
I was looking at his age. He's only 2 years older than China Phillips. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't know how old Conrad is supposed to be. So like, yay. Good job casting him.
Right.
So my sharps, I first sharped Jason Alexander and Brigitte Dow. She played Ursula.
Ursula, huh?
I really liked her interpretations. She was at a million all the time, even though I questioned the character being like, why are we being so crazy? But it's like, maybe you need to like take a nap.
I mean, these girls with like, I don't know, BTS and Harry Styles and
yeah, but they
Tom
eventually
Holland.
Go to sleep in their own bedrooms and not sing We Love You, Conrad. What is it? 10,000 times? Is that what they said they were going to do?
I think so. They're devoted. They're committed.
I will say we didn't really talk that much about the choreography, but I'm sharping the choreography because it was so well done. And like everyone was on point. Because I feel like in some shows or some musical movies, like you get your leads who will like join in the big group numbers, but then you have like dancers be the ensemble. But in this one, it felt like everyone was on the same level.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Alexander danced circles around a couple people, I feel like. So
hell yeah. Well, and they were dancing roles to begin with. I mean, Cheetah Rivera and Dick Van Dyke. I mean, those. They were dancing
yeah.
it up too.
So I saw
my 100th Broadway show. It was Cheetah Rivera, The Dancer's Life, way back when. And it happened to be Cheetah Rivera's birthday when I saw it. And they brought out special guest Dick Van Dyke and they did the song Rosie with the original choreography.
Did you have your little phone up? Well, was this at a time where your phone could take videos?
No, I don't think so. This was. Yeah, I don't know, 2009, something like that.
Shitty video.
2006, I don't remember. Yeah,
No, you're taking 10 seconds and that's it.
That was an epic evening.
I'm also sharpening the ending of Him for a Sunday at Sullivan when everyone is shouting at each other. That's what I wrote down. It's at the end. So, listeners, picture this. You have
Sicily, 1922.
You have the McAfee family, some random people who were hanging out at their house because Conrad Birdie's there, and then they're standing out front of the house, and then you get like the postman and the milkman and a couple other men, mostly men, because the women are the ones who are hanging out at the house, and they're all in a circle just shouting at each other. The end of this song about how they love, how they're going to be so excited to be on Ed Sullivan. It was so funny.
This movie, when it hits, it hits.
I'm also sharpening when they sing live, because that, I have a whole thing about this. I like it in movies when they do that, because you can tell that it's them singing. It's not like, because there was a whole there's been a whole history of like, you know, Singing in the Rain, basically, where they hire people to dub the singing, sometimes unbeknownst to the actor in charge, the one who's playing the role. So when they sing live, I know Tyne Daly had her own reasoning behind it, but mm-hmm. like there was a in Kids, I feel like that one was also recorded live.
Mm.
There may have been other moments with like Jason Alexander or Vanessa Williams when they were singing live that I really appreciated. Cause you get to actually hear their voice that is not produced and auto-tuned and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my last shot, my last sharp is for the shot of Rosie pedaling while Hugo is straddling the bike. I laughed my ass off when that happened. I was like, you got it. You understand the assignment. Oh,
yes. Yeah, there's so many funny physical bits in this.
Yeah.
It's a physical comedy.
They were so close. You almost had it. There's a few... I feel like with this one, there's just a few things that we should just tweak and fix and maybe recast some people. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. you had like the good base coat there.
Yeah.
Now let's get the finer details in and we'll fix it. Cause like in the Telephone Hour at the end, when there's like three people bouncing up and down on top of the telephone booths, I was sitting there like clutching something, anything, be like, oh no, they're gonna die, they're gonna fall through, and you see it wobble a little, and I'm like, they're dead. Those three people died that day,
and they just badly injured themselves, but because all the phones were tied up in the whole town, emergency services
nobody
couldn't be called, and they
nobody
died,
yeah.
Oh god.
Would you add any of those songs to your life's playlist?
I listen
from
to Giant
this
Step.
Version.
Giant Vision. Step and Mother Doesn't Matter. And both Mark Kudich's. No, all three. I like A Lot of Living to Do too. I feel like this makes a perfect soundtrack. A better yes. soundtrack than a movie. I think it's a perfect soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on that, where the singing is great. It's just that
a lot of the arrangements and the, like you said, the vocals and the harmonies.
Yeah, because I wrote Bye Bye Birdie and A Giant Step, but I think I am going to agree with you that, like, maybe I will listen to this version of Telephone Hour. Maybe like, watching Put on a Happy Face made me not want to put it as something I would only listen to, but because we're watching and it's kind of predatory and all that, but like mm-hmm. now thinking about it, I was like, no, Jason Alexander like did a fantastic job. So even though I only wrote those two, I think I would, if there is a soundtrack to this version,
there is
great.
I would
like to listen to this, I think, just to see if my thoughts change from
yeah.
the visuals.
Yeah, and they do songs that, you know, would be cut, like, you know, Healthy Normal American Boy and things like that, I feel like would always get the chopping block. Talk to Me. Who's going to do Talk to Me? And they really, They did all the songs. I think they cut maybe one verse or one reprise of one song, and they did all the songs and more. So good job them. Like they cut the Rosie's One Boy
Yeah, the
verse.
reprise of that.
I think that's it.
There's a song from the original, like the 1960 Broadway production called Wounded, but I think that one is cut from,
Wounded?
yeah.
Oh yeah, and there's like a ballet of her like murdering Albert a bunch of different ways, I think.
How to Kill a Man, yes.
Yeah. I forgot about that. But for the most part, the score is intact and
Yeah,
added.
there. Well, so the one song "Wounded" is by Ursula, Deborah Sue, and Margie, which I think is what they this movie added in the "Bye Bye Birdie" song, because even in the 2009 revival, "Wounded" is not part of it. So, and you know what? Retroactively, I'm gonna add a sharp to putting the "Bye Bye Birdie" song in the movie and making it sound great.
Yeah.
But on that note, Mark, we're done with the episode.
Woo!
What do you have to plug or promote?
As always, head over to my YouTube channel, Broadway by Ghostlight. I've got that Bring Back Birdie breakdown, and I've just released a video called 41 Random Facts about the 41 Broadway Theaters. So that's
Oh.
fun. Go check it out.
If you were in a production of this, because I feel like this is one of those shows that gets done a lot, or it used to. I don't know if it's still like
It's probably
if
not
you've.
done as much now, but
But if you have a fun story from your production of Bye Bye Birdie, I'd love to hear about it. Mark didn't tell me any fun stories, but that's okay. from his
I don't
versions.
know that I had any fun stories. We double cast Rosie. One was white and one was Asian, and they darkened the skin of both. So there's that. I don't know that that's a
Well,
fun story.
that is kind of a fun story to be like, we've gone kind of far from doing that.
Yeah, and I was supposed to play Conrad the first time as a youngin'. I used to do Elvis impersonations like on cruise ships and stuff as a kid, and like win contests and contests. I was like, I had this whole, you can't tell with the
I saw
fat and
the
the beard,
lip.
but
I saw the lip. You did
I looked
the
like
lip.
just like young Elvis, and I used to so, but there was no one that they could play Albert, so I had to play Albert. So then they did the show again, so I played
Aw.
Conrad because they were hard up for boys.
Well, you can tell your stories. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, and TikTok at buttersongpod. I would love to do this 68 the what is it?
63.
63. Yes. 63 movie at
I
some
just
point.
assumed
I know
you'd
we
done that before.
I haven't done it, but maybe in the
Ooh.
future, who knows? Maybe with you, I don't know.
That's a good one.
there's a lot of movies that I'm surprised I haven't done yet.
I wonder if people just like me just assume you've done them by now.
Probably, what is it, 354 episodes at this point?
Right? You're gonna do Little Abner again. That's what we're gonna do. In a double feature with Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Have you done
We're gonna
Gigi
do
yet?
it.
That's another creepy one. Have you done Gigi?
I have not done Gigi yet.
Oh, you want to get creepy.
If you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're getting close to Christmas in July, everyone, and we're going to be talking about "Twas the Night Before Christmas," the 1974 Rankin and Bass TV movie. I never
TV
know how to
special? TV
special. That's it.
special.
TV special, yes. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming back on. I'm glad we put the hatchet in our feelings towards Little Abner for now.
Still have my hit out on you.
Oh boy.
I've hired Earthquake Magoon to take you out.
and you gave him the sweater, I hope, to wear
I
at the
did.
time. Great. everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Bye-bye, birdies.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.